Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everybody. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
How you doing today? I don't. Talk to me about how you're feeling.
How am I doing?
I mean, I do know, but no one else listening knows. Yeah. So maybe let's talk about that to start.
Sure. No, I'm feeling a little, what's the word? Lethargic, a little bit.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I might just be weary of the times. Yeah. But, you know, naming it and acknowledging that that's how I am today is helpful. And other than that, I feel pretty, I feel fine. Yeah. I feel fine. How about you?
You know, okay. I feel okay. I felt better earlier today. And you and I, we woke up. I think we both got a decent night's sleep, although we've both been having sort of weird, fraught, virus-related dreams.
Yeah.
You know, mine have been kind of more, mine always skew a little bit more like action-adventure-y. You know, like there's a problem to solve, and I'm trying to solve it, but also the problems are very abstract and surreal because it's dream time. You know, but we woke up and we had a nice morning together. We had kind of like a romantic morning. And I mean that in a totally PG way.
Yeah.
But like there was some snuggling and just some talking and it was really nice.
Yeah.
And so I woke up with a really, you know, we started the day with a really nice feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to go grocery shopping. And honestly, that it's really stressful now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels fraught. The whole process feels fraught. Just having to stay on top of it's just mentally exhausting.
It is.
Just like remembering not to do the little things you do all of the time, like scratch your cheek or, you know, or your eyelid, which all of a sudden is the itchiest eyelid that any eyelid has ever been in the history of eyelids and time. You know, that was my experience at Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know, and just like having to remember all of that little stuff and just like the constant peril of other human beings, you know, and wondering who is atomizing virus air out, you know, that you then maybe we'll just walk through and you don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we're supposed to be probably all of us wearing masks. That official direction is going to be coming probably soon. But there's no mask to be had, so it's kind of academic. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just feels like another thing we don't have. Like,
right.
Cool, we don't have Clorox wipes either, you know? Like, we've been making do around the house with 409. And it says on the front of it, kills 99.9% of bacteria and viruses. And that's great, but that label is printed pre-coronavirus. It's new. Is it now 99.8?
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know if any of this stuff is working. You know, having to sanitize your groceries when you get home is really screwed up.
Yeah.
It just is really stressful.
Yeah.
You know, and just wondering if you're getting every single crinkle of every package and if the crinkle you didn't get is the one where the virus is hiding. You know, I have an overactive imagination. I'm an artist. That's part of it's the job description, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't have an overactive imagination, I'd be doing something else for work.
Right.
You know, and so my mind runs wild with this stuff. And I try to tamp it down, and I try to, you know, just think realistic and reasonable thoughts about things.
Mm-hmm.
But even that is fatiguing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fatiguing, you know?
Yeah.
The bad thoughts are fatiguing. The effort to make the bad thoughts go away is fatiguing.
Yeah.
There's just, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of good answers.
Yeah, you know? I feel you.
And so that's where I'm at. That's what we just finished doing, and that's where I'm at. Like, I'm frazzled.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to do a podcast today.
Woo, woo.
Maybe that'll be somehow like recentering in some way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. It often is actually when we're going through stressful times. So maybe it will be today.
Yeah.
That was a long preamble of how you're feeling, but you know, these are the times.
Yes, they are. So, back to more rote stuff. Let's thank our new listeners. Welcome our new listeners. Thank our new supporters. So we've had some of each. We've started, first of all, with the listeners. Hi.
Hi.
I'm under the impression there's just some new people listening each time now. So if this is your first time listening to the Misfit Stars podcast, thank you so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. In lighter times, I would have maybe made a joke about, we hope we don't disappoint you too badly because, you know, we're not professional podcasters. We're just two human beings. We're a married pair of working artists talking about how we feel about things in real time, you know, as a service to our community, as a service to ourselves. But, you know, these are not exactly those lighter-hearted times. And really, honestly, what I want to say in this time to our new listeners is that I just hope that we provide some value to you, you know. The thing that we aim to do in this new era with our podcast is to just be as real as we can about where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and how we're feeling and what our experience is, in hopes that maybe it will be some sort of mirror through which you can reflect back your own experience and maybe find a little sucker, a little comfort, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is not to say that we're going to be humorless, because that's just not who we are as people either.
No,
so, you know.
I already said shit once. Now twice.
Very funny, the S word. It's very funny.
It's good. It's very good.
So thank you, new listeners. We really do appreciate that you're here, and we hope that this is going to be something that will be helpful to you today in some way.
So now on to the new supporters.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about new supporters. We've had a few this week, and we've also had a few people who have significantly or a little bit upped their support amount. So here's the deal with that.
So people who are previously supporters who leveled up a little bit.
They did. Yeah. And so here's the deal with that, people. You know, we have had this podcast going for like a year and 4 months, and it has always been this sort of area where we aggregate like our most special people in a way, you know? People self-select into this little podcast community. And by doing so, they also self-select into our private Facebook group, which has just, since this pandemic started, become this wonderful source of mutual aid and support that I hadn't really anticipated.
Yeah.
But like, we created this container and we didn't exactly know what we were going to use it for. Well, it turns out it's this.
Yeah.
This is its time to shine.
Yeah.
So, you know, the podcast is a way for us to have some stable income. It is other things as well, but you know, as far as the becoming a supporting member part, that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have been dramatically ramping that up, and we're going to do more with that next month. It's sort of part of this plan that we have for how to pivot in this new time, seeing as we can't do our annual summer tour, which is like 75% of our income, right? So like,
yikes.
That's made us, you know, made us innovate a little bit, mm-hmm. and we've had to pivot in a couple of ways. And one of them will be that we'll be doing a much more concerted push for people to sign up there. But we've been sort of just slow rolling this out and letting people know that there are sort of expanded opportunities to support in there now. And so people have been.
Yeah. Thank you so much, those of you who have gone there, become new members this week.
It's very cool.
Or who have leveled up. It really makes a big difference.
The links for those, by the way, if you're not yet a member, you can go to misfitstars.com/join. If you are a member, you can go to misfitstars.com/level up. And either way, you basically get taken to the place where you can sort of choose your level of support, and you know, and it's simple. It's quick. It's easy. It's a monthly recurring contribution, and I want to be clear about that. So sort of in the same way that you might make a recurring monthly donation to your favorite local NPR station, we still are making a recurring donation, you and I, to KPCC in Pasadena.
In Southern California.
We live 1,106 miles away from there, and yet they're still getting $10 a month from us because it's important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's how that works. Mm-hmm. You can also become a monthly supporting member of Shannon and Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is for. And we hope to aggregate enough small amounts of support that it turns into sort of a group effort, larger amount of support.
Right.
That's the goal. We're not asking one person for $2,000, right? We're asking 200 people for 10 bucks.
Right.
And so, or 100 people for 20 bucks, right? Every person who joins at a higher level means that someone else can join at a lower level, and it'll still all hopefully work out, and we will live indoors and eat food.
Yes, it is one of the ways, it's probably one of the most significant ways in which we aim to weather this unique time that we're all living in. And so thank you so much to those of you who have already supported us, who've leveled up, those of you who go now to become supporters.
Do it. MisfitStars.com/join.
It really makes a big difference to us, and thank you very much. Another way you can support what we're doing is to go leave a glowing 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
It's true.
That would be great.
It seems so pedestrian in podcast in pandemic times, you know, like, oh, really? We're doing 5-star reviews. It's a pandemic, you know. But in all seriousness, if you think that listening to us talk is something that you get value out of each week, and you think that maybe people who like what you like would also get value out of it, leaving a 5-star review, leaving a 5-star, whatever you call it, rating, I guess, and then also making a little review, like Shannon and Jamie, so great, LOL.
Yeah.
Whatever. And we're going to have like 7 of those now, right? that's a way that you can get this podcast in front of other people's eyeballs through the recommendation engine on Apple Podcasts.
Awesome.
That's a whole thing.
Thank you.
So what has our experience been this week?
Oh gosh, so many experiences.
Which, first of all, like, so I, as I mentioned last week, I've been keeping a daily journal, you know? And you had a great suggestion as we were preparing the script for this week's podcast. Yeah. You're like, hey, you should just like page through your journal and see what happened in the last week. There was stuff that happened 6 days ago that feels, again, mm-hmm. like it was maybe, I don't know, 25 days ago or something.
Yeah, I've been hearing that from a lot of people in just chatting with people on the phone and online, that, you know, time feels very elastic in this time. Like you were just saying, sometimes some things that only happened a few days ago feel like it was forever ago. And at the same time, the days are over as soon as they've begun some days. And
it's feels like
where
that.
Did that day go? And what did I do? You know, even when you've done a lot, like I feel very untethered. And I think a lot of people are feeling a bit untethered in terms of time.
Yeah.
You know, one really interesting conversation I had with somebody today, it was actually your cousin Joe.
Oh, great.
She was commenting on one of the questions I had that I'd posted on social media, on Facebook, for people to sort of open-endedly respond to. But it was, the question was one area in which you've given yourself an extra bit of grace today? Because that's just something that we're all needing to do in this time. And so she responded by saying something like, spent the entire morning outdoors. You know, she's got two kids, and mm-hmm. she, I don't know if she's working from home right now or if she's just off.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what her situation is, but definitely, you know, there's the homeschool thing with kids, because they're in Vermont. The kids are going to not be going back to school the rest of the year.
They've already told them that in Vermont. Yeah.
So, you know, she's got, you know, sort of the responsibility of like educating her children during this time.
Yeah.
But she was saying that they spent the entire morning outdoors. They live on a farm. And so they were able to get lots of outdoor time away from people. And that after lunch, when it was supposed to be raining, then they came in and did like homeschool stuff.
What a great way to do it.
Yeah. And you know, it was really interesting as I was like listening to her talk, and I've noticed this in other people's comments about their days as well, that it's interesting to be in a position where we can allow, because of our home time schedule that a lot of us are on now, we can sort of allow our needs to dictate schedule versus a schedule dictating the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, even if normally you'd be like at school at 8 a.m. and in class until 3 or, you know, at work, your first meeting at 9 in the morning and then getting home, and you know, like there are, it's time is more fungible in that way too at this point, you know, like in terms of, okay, well, you know, we can do school later. Mm-hmm. Right now we need to take advantage of the sunshine. And so we're going to go outside and do that. You know, that
you just, and I have been doing a little bit of that too. Like, mm-hmm. especially we're in the time of year right now when the weather in the Pacific Northwest is mercurial. You know, like if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes right now. You know, like yesterday, it was vacillating yesterday between bright sunshine and blue skies and freaking hail.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes for an hour and a half.
it was
just
so
the
weird.
Wildest thing. It was hail, sun, hail, sun.
And so we're like, okay, we're waiting for the next sun and let's go for a walk.
Yeah. But you got to keep it in a tight radius around your house, because you got to be able to get back home within 60 seconds from anywhere you are.
It's true.
At a dead sprint.
It's true. But I really like the idea that a lot of us are having the experience right now of allowing, paying attention to what our needs are and allowing our needs to dictate the schedule that we have throughout the day, rather than adhering to just some arbitrary, you know, imposed schedule of some kind. You know, it's an important thing to be able to do.
That said, I also want to, in the same breath, acknowledge that there are people out there, surely a few of whom are listening to this podcast right this second, who don't have anything like a flexible schedule.
It's true.
Who are still being made to go into work.
Absolutely.
At maybe crappy jobs by maybe crappy employers, mm-hmm. under duress.
Or in some cases, they're frontline workers.
Yep.
In this, who are needed in the healthcare industry.
And maybe they have great employers.
Exactly. So, but you're right. The experience is not the same for everyone. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very important to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So yes. But there are a lot of folks who are just at home way more than there are normally.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you have been doing a great job still about calling your mom every day.
I have.
That's great. I have not. I mean, not your mom, my parents.
Yes. Well, my mom lives by herself. So like it's a priority for me to make sure that she gets contact from at least me every day. I know she is. She talks to other friends and things like that throughout her days as well. But, you know, given that she's by herself all day, every day, it's just important for me to... reach out.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I've been doing a bad job at keeping in touch with my family. I've been talking with my sister on text a lot, which mm-hmm. is good. Not as good as hearing her voice, but good. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've talked with my parents since the last time we recorded a podcast. So it's probably been 7 days.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just because the days have gotten away from you?
It's some of both. Partly it's because the days are just getting away, you know? And then it's like, you know, like we'll finish this. We're recording this. It's already, you know, 20 past six in the afternoon right now. Mm-hmm. By the time we're finished and we have a late dinner, it'll be, you know, 8 or 8:30 or something. And I'm not going to want to get on the phone for half an hour. I'm going to want to get to work and do some music, because music is one of the only things that makes me feel good. And also I have like 4 records I'm working on right now, and I legitimately need to work.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of been the pattern. It's like the first part of the day has just felt like it gets away. And then by the time I'm like, okay, if I manage my time wisely, I can still be productive today in a way that feels good to
right.
me. That sort of precludes sociability.
Yeah.
Which is hard. I don't know. I'm just not doing a great job at managing it yet. Everything feels just really like out of whack, mm-hmm. you know? And I haven't figured out a good way to like make everything fit. I think also part of it is just that the idea of talking to my folks right now just feels a little emotionally overwhelming.
Oh, yeah?
And it wouldn't be, you know? It's just that I'm worried about them. I'm worried about my mom, mm-hmm. you know, specifically health-wise. She's fine, but like she has some underlying stuff that would make it so if she got this thing, she would not be fine.
Right.
And, you know, I think that that's always just kind of at the back of my mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of makes it feel like it would be a more fraught thing emotionally for me than probably it actually would be.
Yeah.
But it feels like a barrier somehow, you know, because I'm already like being of support to a whole shitload of people on the internet.
Right.
You know, and it sometimes just kind of feels like my reserves.
Your tank is empty?
My tank for taking care of people is just empty.
Yeah.
And I just need to do music.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and that sucks, because then I feel like I'm letting them down and myself down. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Like I have not found a balance that mm-hmm. feels satisfying yet.
Also, the phone lines go both ways.
Yeah, I know.
So give yourself some grace.
Yep, fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fair, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
What else happened this week? So here's a thing that feels like when I looked it up, I was like, this happened 6 days ago? The Senate passed their relief bill 6 days ago from today.
And it feels like it was 2 weeks ago, right?
Easily. Yeah. Feels like it's been forever ago. No one's even talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? Because there was all this like drama about it. And was all, call your senators, and then it's kind of done. And now it feels like what's happening? I don't know.
Well, they went on recess.
Yeah.
In the middle of a freaking global pandemic, which I don't get at all why Congress decided they're going to go home for a month.
Seems like the wrong time to take a break.
Yeah. Seems like the wrong time to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you're right. But there was a lot of action leading up to the Senate bill, and that we needed to be engaged at that time. We needed to be on the phones asking them to do the right thing in this relief bill and actually help people and not just give massive checks to their corporate friends,
yeah.
you know? And so like we needed to be engaged, and then the bill passes and it gets signed, and then...
Then what?
And then what? Then, yeah. then we just, you know, we wait for it to actually go into action.
I don't know. Like, how do we know?
There's not really anything for us to do about it either. So that's why it feels like it just stopped.
Yeah.
You know, the energy around that sort of like ceased. But
yeah, it's weird. Like there should be like some action items. You know what I mean? Like once a bill like this gets passed, they should be like, okay, we have passed this, and now here is what you need to do to get yourself taken care of with the thing we just did.
Right. I mean, and I have heard from like our congressperson. He did send out a letter saying yeah. with some links about like here's you know where you can access the relief, you know,
yep.
in various ways. So I mean, like, I think that some of our representatives are doing that,
mm-hmm.
And we're still trying to figure out what it all means. All of us are still trying to figure out what it all means,
because yeah.
it's different than any other time before.
Yeah.
So
something yeah. very interesting about this, a bit of context that like I hadn't really appreciated until I read about it a few days ago.
About the bill?
About the relief bill, just sort of juxtaposed with the way other countries are dealing with things.
Mm-hmm.
So Denmark, what Denmark did uh-huh. is they did something really different, right? So like what the United States, you know, Congress did is they essentially passed a lot of unemployment relief for
uh-huh.
people, you know? So
people are going to get laid off.
Yeah. And there's going to be, and they know that. And so they're like, okay, we're going to expand access to unemployment. We're also going to give extra money. And hopefully these things will all sort of combine
okay.
for people to make it so you get more taken care of.
Okay.
And I think a lot of us were just like, okay, cool. That's good. That's pretty good. And then I heard about how Denmark did it.
How'd they do it?
What Denmark did is they backstopped and they didn't backstop. They nationalized their payroll.
What does that mean?
So what that means is the government took responsibility for covering payroll for every single employee, for every company paying every employee in the entire country.
So how does it work? Does the government send checks to the companies that then dole out the payroll?
Or? I don't know the mechanism. Okay. I don't know if they send it to the companies and the companies pay people or if they just pay people directly. I think it might be the latter.
But the difference is that those people are remaining quote unquote employed by their employers.
No one has to fire anybody.
No one
has to get laid off. Everyone stays at their job. It's just that instead of the companies who are now all broke having to pay their employees, the government pays their employees 75 to 90% of the amount.
Not the entire amount, but...
No, but enough to get by, right? And so here's something super interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. So here's what that would look like if we were to do that in the United States, right? And so it turns out that like the U.S. payroll, that it's a knowable number. These are economic statistics that you can just look up.
Huh.
So the entirety of payroll in the United States of America for 1 year is $6.7 trillion
right now. For a whole year.
For an entire year.
Huh.
Everybody getting paid by every job that there is. Everyone, you know, self-employed people, everything.
Uh-huh.
It's $6.7 trillion.
Okay.
Right? And so if you look at 75% of that number, that's $5 trillion.
Okay.
And if you look at a three-month period, it would be a quarter of that, which would be $1.5 trillion.
Which is smaller than the amount that they just passed in Congress.
Oh, yeah. They just passed a $2.2 trillion relief bill, right? But check this out. Also, if you did businesses, if you only did it for businesses with fewer than 500 employees.
Oh, okay.
So you let huge companies just keep paying people because they've all got a bunch of money.
They should.
And if not, they can take federal loans and there's other ways around that.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's mechanisms for larger corporations already in place to sort of, you know, stay alive.
Right.
Because they're more vital to the economy overall or whatever.
Right.
You know? So if you look at businesses just with fewer than 500 employees, if you talk about nationalizing just those companies' payroll, that's only $500 billion. That's $500 billion.
Wow.
Right? So every single company with 500 or fewer employees, which is also a lot of big companies, a 500-person company is a big company.
It is,
It's not like McDonald's big, but it's huge.
Yeah,
you know? If you look at all those people, every single person who works at a company, 500 person or smaller, could have had their paycheck, 75% of it, just covered by the government. For $500 billion.
And remain employed by the companies.
Yeah, no one gets laid off.
So that once this is over and we can go back to being normal people in society, they all still have their jobs.
Yes, the employer-employee relationships are still just there.
The infrastructure is already there.
It's all there. So it really put it in stark relief for me, this idea that the implicit assumption in all of this, the way that our Congress dealt with it, the way that our government dealt with it, is they chose mass unemployment.
Hmm.
They're like, well, there's going to be mass unemployment, and that's just a baseline assumption for us. We're not even going to try not to make that happen.
Interesting.
And now that you're unemployed, we will do something to take care of you for a while.
Right.
But like when the relief is over, right? So look at two separate 3 month long periods, right?
Right?
They, I think, provided unemployment relief for 4 months, which is about 3 months. So they're similar lengths of time, right? But what they did is they, you know, took a $2.2 trillion relief bill and put a whole bunch of it toward workers. But at the end of it, everyone's going to be unemployed.
Right.
Like 30, 35, 40% of the American people are going to be unemployed. All those relationships between employers and employees are going to just be severed.
Right.
Everyone's going to be adrift and just reorganizing, trying to find new positions, different jobs.
Which will be stressful in its own way and inefficient in a lot of ways.
Oh my gosh.
Too.
Like talk about the brain drain at companies when everybody leaves and they've all gotten their working relationships. Everyone knows everyone, knows how to do it. They're just in their routine.
It's
like institutional memory is just going to be completely drained. We could have done this a completely different way.
And it's funny. I mean, I also operated from the frame of, well, people are going to get laid off. There's no other way to do this.
Right?
But it turns out there is another way.
Yeah. There's actually a much better way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
how wild is that?
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
But it's just really interesting, right? Because you know that like people in Congress know this, right? People in Congress have access to these models and other people's experiences.
I think you're assuming a lot about the general intelligence level of people in Congress.
Well, that's a funny comment, but I do think...
I'm not saying it to be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some people who literally don't believe in science who are in Congress. So,
yeah, sure.
You know,
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, there's a bunch of shit heels in Congress. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
But you know, there are also people who are economically serious and they have access to all of the world's smartest people, right?
Yeah.
This is not information that they did not have at their disposal. And they rejected it, right? Out of hand. Like, to the point where it didn't even enter the conversation. Like, the baseline foundational assumption that they chose to premise every single action they took upon is that it's totally fine if lower level employees and higher level employees, anyone, doesn't matter to
right.
them, just loses their job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I genuinely don't think that they take the time to care about American workers.
Right.
Right? Like, I think in some ways, for the predatory corporatist model that kind of exists in our country, mm-hmm. employment-wise, mm-hmm. having a whole ton of people be unemployed and freaked out and worried about losing their home and worried mm-hmm. about losing any shred of economic security they have, it's really good for capitalist bosses to have a scared workforce
right.
and high unemployment, right? Because
yeah.
what does that do? That drives wages down. It drives competition up. It traps people in bad jobs. It traps people in healthcare. There's so many evil. I mean, I was looking for another word there in that pause for a second. I don't know if there's another word for it, right?
Right.
Like, the way that we have structured employment in this country has never been super good. But in decent times, which we mostly have, it's kind of been okay for enough people. But this just, it seems like the whole system, like the inadequacies and the foundationally like inhumane assumptions that are built into the system
right.
are really being exposed in this time.
Oh yeah. I mean, we talked about this somewhat last week, right, on the podcast, that this experience is laying bare all of the cracks in our system
yeah.
in ways that it's been insufficient for a lot of people for a long time. And this is laying all of that out in the open. So you're talking about, you know, you've just been talking about like the workforce and,
yeah.
and how it, but I mean, healthcare, like if we're willing to say, and a lot of people are willing to say that, at the very least, and this was in the Congress's bill last week too, the testing for mm-hmm. coronavirus should be free for everybody, right?
Yeah.
And I think everybody agrees for the most part that testing should be free
yeah.
for everyone. There are a lot of people, probably most of us, who would say that testing and treatment for coronavirus ought to be free
yeah.
to everybody. Okay, well then, if we're willing to say that testing and treatment for this particular virus ought to be free for everybody because it's in the best interest of society as a whole, would it not also be in our best interest to not let people die from cancer or diabetes because they can't afford treatment
right.
for those things too? You know, like this example is showing us like, okay, the right thing to do in this case is to give healthcare to people who need it because that is the right thing to do. And it's also good for us as a society.
Yes, it's better for the... that for their blessed economy.
It's better right? for the, yeah, it's better for the common good in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are able to say that for this particular virus, it's not a very long leap really to
no.
all healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't say that just this one thing ought to be a service that we provide for humans because that's the right thing to do without then saying, well, okay, we really need to do better
yeah.
about taking care of the health of the people in our communities.
And also, right, so how are they guaranteeing, the federal government, in this bill that coronavirus testing will be free? Well, they're paying for it. And they're paying for it at a universally agreed upon price
right.
that is fair and that they have they quickly negotiated with a bunch of lobbyists for the healthcare industry, right?
Right.
Here is the per person price for this. And because it was a government who is the single provider in this instance of the payment.
Single
for
payer.
The single payer, if you will, right? Providing this payment, they were able to negotiate a good across-the-board price that's consistent everywhere in the country. Well, so if that's a good idea for this situation, then how the fuck is private insurance valid in any other situation yeah. for basic healthcare needs?
Ding, 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 ding.
Right?
Like, yep.
If you want to go get plastic surgery or something, okay, man, go get, like, pay a la carte, like, do private insurance for that. If you have other needs, if you have other like special rich person healthcare needs where you want to do elective a la carte healthcare kind of stuff and you want better than the commoner gets, okay, fine. I could see a role for a private insurance market there, right?
Also, I'm trying to imagine why you would pay monthly premiums to an insurance policy that covers plastic surgery.
It was a bad example, but funny, right? I love it.
You never know when I need another nose job.
It's like keeping a lawyer on retainer, but for plastic surgery.
Totally. Yeah. Yes. This is really laying bare the faults in our system. I really hope that more people will see the brokenness of the system.
Yeah.
In this time, I don't wish for harm to anyone, and I'm not grateful in any way that there are people that are experiencing great pain economically and health-wise because of this time. But pain does often motivate us to change our perspectives about things, and I hope that there are more people who are able to see the brokenness of our system for what it has been for a long time.
Yeah. And to be super real about things also, like, I don't consider this to be a Congress problem necessarily. Mm-hmm. I consider this to be a Republicans in Congress problem, you know?
Or people who are focused on corporations.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt you. And yes, okay. And you're right. There are some Democrats who are in that boat also, and they suck. Right? Yeah. And they're terrible. But I want to also be super clear about the idea that in this time, something else that is quietly happening is that a whole bunch of Republican governors are suing to invalidate the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. That's not being put on hold in this time.
Right.
That is proceeding apace.
Right.
That is something that is going to be heard like later in this year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and they're not like looking at what's happening in this time like, oh no, actually a system where we take care of as many people as possible with healthcare is good. No, they're not looking at this and getting that lesson from it at all. No. They're still just pursuing this single-minded ideological pursuit. Mm-hmm. Right?
That will end up kicking hundreds of thousands of people off of the healthcare.
It's more like 20 million.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh. God.
Because the Medicaid expansion would also be gone.
Right.
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 So
there's
that.
Register
to vote, people.
Here's a great place to go do that. Vote Save America is a great place to go do that because they give...
VoteSaveAmerica.com.
Yes, I'm sorry, .com. You can register there and they'll also send you updates about the candidates in your area that are actually working for good things as we approach the November election. So that's a good spot to go. Anyway.
Right on. So, God, those MFers. You know? What the fuck?
I know, right.
I kind of split the difference on the MFers and then the swear word there. You notice that?
Yeah, good job.
Thanks.
It's like diet swearing.
It kind of like balances out. It's almost like there's no swearing, really. Yeah. So it's like eating a Twinkie on the treadmill, really, but for swearing.
Got to do it sometimes.
So what else? We researched more about the tech side of streaming concerts.
We did that, because one of the other things that we can't go to do house concerts this summer, which is so sad.
We are going to miss you all so much.
It's going to be just dumb that we can't do that. This is the time of year. You know how Facebook and Instagram give you like memories?
Yeah.
And so this is the time of year normally where like this is the week we would have started looking for hosts.
Last week of March.
For our summer house concert tour this
year. Every year, yeah.
And it's always the case. The calendar repeats every year. And so I'm getting...
It would have been today, Tuesday, March 31st. It would have been a Tuesday, right?
Right. So I'm getting all these stupid reminders or memories from Facebook and Instagram saying, oh, look, 3 years ago you were... And it was posts I was making with all these, you know, like a photo collage of our previous summer's tour and like happy faces with people in all different states and like, you know, advertising for this year's tour. And so I get these and I'm like, mer, mer, mer.
I know. You know? So wonderful to see them, but so bittersweet.
I know. So instead, one of the things that we're gonna do this year is we're gonna do an online house concert tour. We've just started talking about this in the last few days, and so with lots of people are getting lots of experience with Zoom meetings for their jobs and their school and things like that. And that's actually the platform that's winning right now in terms of the one we might actually use for our online house concerts. But what we really want to do is try to approximate. Like one of the things that makes it really special a house concert is the group experience.
Yeah.
You know, the us being together in a space and sharing. And like, you know, the thing that you and I are bringing to the table is the music and the stories and the experience of the art itself. But the event itself is so much more than that. It is about everybody bringing their own energy to it and the conversations we get to have before and after. And, you know, it's a really intimate, connective time. And we really wanted to try to, you know, to approximate that online, and it's tricky.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so many musician friends who have been doing, live broadcast concerts, you know, which are wonderful and great. And I'm so glad people are doing those things. But those are one way, right? Mm-hmm. That is, here I am, musician, artist, person, putting out onto the interwebs my performance, and it's not a two-way give and take sort of scenario.
Yeah, very
right?
passive.
It's passive. So we want to try to get to that connectivity, intimacy thing, and so we're looking at the Zoom platform because we want to have like a many-to-many experience where I'm not the only one on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, where everybody who's at the concert, quote unquote, has their own little Brady Bunch window on the screen, and we can see each other and we can be there together with each other and experience it in real time together. And we've got some other great ideas about how we're going to foster some like discussion and things like that. Before and after the concert actually happens. So we've got fun ideas. But the whole technical side of it is a whole other learning curve. Like we've never really done this kind of thing before. So we got a little camera.
We did. We did a bunch of research. We did a bunch of tech research.
Yeah.
And we found this little camera. It's just amazing what you can get for a couple $100 these days. You know, the same thing 10 years ago would have been like $2,000.
I know, right?
But like the two essential things that we needed to have, it needed to have a good camera that had some tolerance for different light situations, you know, so we could just have a nice looking thing under sort of whatever lighting design we want to do. And then also it had to have the ability to pipe in audio from a different source so that I could mix the audio, sort of do a quote unquote TV mix of the live show, which is something I've got a ton of experience with from when I used to tour, because part of touring, inevitably you got to do all these different TV and radio things where the whole band sets up and you have to do a version of the mix that's not designed for like a live concert venue like a club or an arena or something, but instead is sort of...
Sounds good on speakers.
Sounds good coming down to TV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to be able to do. Right. You know, I need to be able to sort of take all the things that you're doing and manipulate them in the ways that make them sound sort of good and tight and compact in that sort of way. Like it's like you're playing on the Grammys, right?
Yeah.
That same kind of live music thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pipe it into
the little camera,
the little thing with the video feed, marry them together.
And then stream that to the internet.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that the thing we found will do it. We did a ton of research, right?
Oh my gosh, and we're learning so much.
Yeah, so we figured, well, it's a $200 thing. We're going
to
get it.
This whole thing is really like trying to build a plane while it's already in flight.
Yeah.
But yes, it was fun to research that. It was fun to make a little bit of progress on one of our pivot points and things that we're going to do differently this year.
It's funny, like we absolutely did not need to make this camera purchase a few days ago. We did not need to do that then. We could have waited a month and a half. But like, I think for both of us, just to feel like we were making forward motion felt so good. It's we're definitely doing this now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now it's just sitting in the basement. We took it out, looked at it, like, oh, it's cute. It's good. Cute. Great. Put it back in the box.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. You know, it's funny. You asked me a couple weeks ago. I think it was a couple weeks ago anyways. Who knows? Time is weird. But I've been, you know, in the middle of writing this new record for a month and a half.
And it's so good, baby. It's such a good record.
Thank you. I'm so glad you like it.
I really do.
So I've been in the middle of writing it. And a couple weeks ago, you asked me, hey, so I know you're still in the middle of writing your record, but, you know, given the circumstance that we find ourselves in as a global community.
The context for your record has changed.
It has changed. The context for everything has changed. You asked me the question, do you think that this record that you're writing is still applicable for this time?
Relevant.
You know, is it still relevant to this new era we all find ourselves in?
Yeah.
And great question, by the way, and I'm glad that you brought it up.
Because, I felt so nervous too, you know what I mean?
Because,
I mean, imagine if you had been like, no, I don't think so. Fuck.
Yeah, totally. Well, here's the thing, and I was able to answer you confidently in the moment because of this very thing, and that is, and it kind of gets to the next point on our script today. We talked about how we want to talk about how music has been a refuge. And so this record that I've been writing, and I've alluded to it a couple times in this podcast, but I'll reiterate just briefly here, it's generally about the idea of doing the next right thing, and following that in a step-by-step kind of way. Like, what does it mean to do the next right thing and then to see the fruit of what that becomes? Kind of like, that's sort of the idea of this record. And when I set out to write the record, I wrote an outline of the whole record before I wrote a single note of anything. I wrote out the topics for songs 1 through 10 on the record. And I wanted to write them in order. it's sort of a meta expression of doing the next right thing, like starting at step one mm-hmm. and not thinking about steps 7 through 9,
right.
but starting with step one and writing that song first and then song 2 and then song 3 and then song 4, you know, so I've been doing that.
What a wild exercise.
But it's been so great.
And advanced songwriting. It's like songwriting 909.
You know, it was an interesting, like, I don't know if it's advanced. It's just...
It's advanced as hell.
Okay, well, thank you. And I appreciate your encouragement. But like for me, it was just a really good skeleton on which to hang this particular project. It seemed mm-hmm. it seemed to make sense. If I'm writing something about the idea of being in the present moment, doing the next right thing, and then repeating that step until you've reached whatever you need to reach with this, you know, it seemed to make sense to approach this that way.
Totally. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So because of that, like where I found myself a couple of weeks ago was I had gotten to the place in the record where like the songs that I needed to write in the last, like the songs that I have written in the last week, mm-hmm. since I really kind of got back up, I had to take a little bit of a break when all of this hit the fan to yeah. just kind of collect myself. But you know, when I got back into writing, the songs that I have had that I've written this past week have been exactly what it is that I have needed mm. in this moment, dealing with this new era that we're all in. Mm. And like, to me, it reinforces the idea that we can't control the future. We can't control steps. When we're at step one, we can't control what's going to be happening at steps 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
Right. And so it reinforces the notion that like when you live that fully in the moment and make the next right decision for yourself, that it leads you to where you need to be when steps 7, 8, and 9 come around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Totally.
Okay. So I got to songs 8 and 9 this last week, and yeah. it's been exactly what I've needed. These particular songs have been about the idea of the one that I just finished 2 days ago was about the notion that we are so much greater as a whole than we are as individuals.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that there is a power greater than ourselves mm-hmm. individually, and that we experience that in really powerful ways when we come together and we experience this greater than, you know, when we are many as one, it is a greater force than just one.
Love it.
You know, and I've needed that. I've needed that in this time, and just to be able to get an opportunity to really just meditate on the idea that, you know, if I were facing this time all by myself, I don't know how I could do it. But, you know, the fact that I have you, the fact that I have my friends and family that I'm, you know, that I'm chatting with on a mm-hmm. sometimes daily basis, mm-hmm. the fact that I have our community online that we're, you know, sharing so openly and deeply with people, with each other about, like, what are we feeling in this time?
Yeah.
What are ways in which we're having to give ourselves grace because we're not getting it right the first time? What are the, you know, what are, like, just, we're doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be able to get through this because we're doing it together. And that's been such an encouragement to me. Mm. And getting to like really sink into that idea in music this week has been really helpful and important to me.
I relate to that a lot. The times that I have felt the most sane this last week as the week before is mm-hmm. when I've been working on music, you know?
Yeah.
Your record I've been working on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a couple songs into it at this point. And it's just been super rewarding. Mm-hmm. I've evolved this kind of pattern over the past few years, which is that whatever the first song is that I tackle, I tend to spend more time on it all at once by itself than I do for the other 9 songs.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. just more than anything as a way of just kind of getting myself back up to speed with your material.
Sure.
You know, jumping in. Mm-hmm. I tend to do that with a lot of records I'm working on, whatever the first song is that I tackle, just spend a little longer on it than I end up spending on the others.
Sure.
Just as a means of just immersing myself and just trying stuff out and just trying out different processes. Because generally speaking, I'm often looking for, you know, just like what's the overall sound of the record going to be? Where am I going to be going with this? And that way, you know, I can just like make some technical choices. Like, how is a vocal going to sound on this? Like, do I want it to be tighter? Do I want it to be more focused? Do I want it to be more ambient? You know, what is the instrumentation doing? Just like, what's the overall sound picture, you know? And if I can sort of figure that out, you know, more on the first song, then I can take what I've learned and I can sort of apply it to other songs and I save time, you know? Yeah. And so I worked on the first song for a whole bunch of days with a lot of really like fiddly processes along the way, which is really rewarding and really good. And then I pivoted in the last few days to work on a second song that I just am so in love with, just super emotional. And this one, by contrast, the first one I dove into was like much bigger arrangement, much more complex. Mm-hmm. You know, lots less space. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. much more wall of sound kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then this other one is much more sparse. I mean, there's like three instruments right. and then some vocals. You know, and it was more of a challenge really to like figure out like. Okay, how do we leave space but also keep the arrangement moving forward?
Right.
And that was just so fun to work on. I was really able to get lost there. I've been interspersing songs from this ambient pedal steel record that I'm mixing, which has been wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Those are just like little sound vacations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just go to some place just trippy and weird. The last one I worked on for him actually was kind of intense. You know,
yeah.
and it was a little bit emotionally hard to work on just because like I'm not very resilient right now.
Yeah.
You know, and things that feel more difficult, just like they get more difficult more quickly for me, you know. But I got through it and it was rewarding to do. And now mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the next one is a little bit less intense, you know,
yes.
like I can deal with the intense stuff, but it takes more out of me right now for sure.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Yep. You feeling better? You had a coughing fit off mic there.
I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. Swallowed spit down the wrong hole.
Cool. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone was wondering, why is Shannon all of a sudden not going, and I'm filibustering for like 3 minutes, and then there's some unidentified third party hacking themselves to death in the background.
It's me.
We're not harboring like a COVID-19 fugitive.
No.
Nothing like that. It's
just spit down the wrong
Shannon
hole.
Shannon swallowing spit.
Yeah.
It's good. So that's been working well. Music's been working well.
Yeah.
I've also like, in terms of like thinking about what is and isn't working well,
uh-huh.
my relationship with Facebook has been a little fraught and my relationship with online has felt a little fraught in general,
okay.
you know?
In what way?
There's a couple different aspects to it. There is this sort of cohort of people online, who get more and less vocal depending on the day, but what their point of view seems to be that they've done their time. They've spent, you know, the better part of 3 weeks, you know, dealing with this pandemic thing. Like, we really got it down. And like, now we're starting to see things go down in places like Washington. And so everything's fine. And we really just need to get back to regular life, you know, which is wrong. That's wrong.
Right.
Like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, yeah, that sounds reasonable. No, it's not. It's wrong.
Well, what the scientists are saying is the reason that we're seeing in places like Washington, that the new cases of hospitalizations have been going down the last few days, it's because of our drastic social distancing measures.
And because it is drastic.
Because it is drastic. And if we let up, that means the curve gets unflattened.
Yeah.
You know?
If we let up at any time, like it'll go through the roof again.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Which means that we're in this for the long haul. You know?
Yeah. And it's hard, you know... I don't want to be in the prediction game of how long we're actually going to be in this, but I think it's probably going to be longer than a lot of us are thinking it's going to be
mm-hmm.
at this point in time. You know, has it occurred to you that for some of those people who are like, okay, and now we're done, that maybe that's how they're coping with the stress of it? I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of unhealthy coping mechanisms, right? Some people drink a lot and beat their partner.
And
then some people have totally denial-based reactions to things happening in front of them, you know?
But I'm just going to suggest that it's possible that for some people, taking the full bite out of all of what this means is too much for them.
Yeah.
And maybe there are some people who just need to think of it in smaller chunks. And so maybe it's okay for them to be like, well, it's been 3 weeks and I'm getting tired of this. And maybe they'll come to the realization that they'll need to do another 3 weeks. And at the end of that 3 weeks, who knows how much more? You know right. what I mean? Like,
I get that. Yeah. And I think there's some truth to that, you know? And I think it's no mystery that like the government is rolling out, like in all the local governments, they're not just being like, okay, we're done till June. They're like, we're just going to go till the end of March. And they're like, well, you know, it's going to be mid-March. Well, you know, it's going to be the end of April.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, that way, like you said, you only have to look at the next 3 weeks. And, you know, at the end of that 3 weeks, like, hey, you know what? We need 3 more weeks. So sorry. And you're like, okay, 3 more weeks. I just did 3. I can do 3 more, you know?
Right.
And that's fine, you know, for reasonable, rational people. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. There's definitely, though, like a whole bunch of people who are like agitating, right? Like vocally, loudly to like, we got to get the economy back up and running. We got, you know, this whole like, we can't let the cure be worse than the disease thing, you know?
Yeah, that's bad.
Which is bad. It's really dangerous and really bad because you know that what goes hand in hand with that mentality and that worldview is the idea that like, okay, we're sort of, we can hang out with people again. We can hang out with a few.
Right.
Like just groups of 5. Come over, we'll have some wine.
Right.
You know? Oh God.
Right.
Like it's really dangerous and bad. It and it's is. Just, and it's so exhausting, you know? And it feels like—
I haven't encountered like, so many of those people online.
That's good.
Yeah, but it sounds like you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
I have. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, maybe they pop up more in my Facebook feed than in yours. I don't know why that would be. Mm-hmm. Like you, I've been posting things online, just open-ended questions, just to check in with people on various topics, you know? And there's definitely the 5 to 7% of people who are just like of this whole, this is just made up.
Oh,
this is a made up hoax. And, you know, and it's just like, ugh, you don't want to let those comments go, right?
Right.
Because like not rebutting comments like that is a tacit endorsement.
Right.
Can be perceived as such by some people, you know? So it's like, you kind of got to deal with it, but it's hard because you want to deal with it gently and kindly because not everyone gets things at the same time. You kind of think people would have gotten it by now, but like, you know, some people are not as fast as other people. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they're like still playing catch up on this and you want to encourage that. You don't want to be the person just being a dick to that person and causing them to double down on their totally wrong ideas about things. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not healthy or helpful.
Right.
You know, and it's just all tiring. It's really, really tiring. You know, it's like, I feel like I'm already doing a bunch of work online to be there for other people, you know? And it's part of the nature of what you and I do. Like, we are there for our huge community of people.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful and rewarding. And we get to hear from so many of them in this time. And it's positive and wonderful and lovely.
Yeah.
And we get to be of real service to people who need someone to listen to them. And it's just rewarding and great and wonderful in every way.
Yep.
And I'm lucky. I feel lucky that we get to do this work. And that we get to be there for people in this way, you know? But, oh my gosh, like, it's draining.
Yeah.
Like, it's really draining. I'm not saying this in an oh, poor me kind of way. Mm-hmm. It's just that I have so much energy, and then when I'm done it, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been conscious of the idea that I've been making little rules about when I spend time on social media. And my inbox, my email inbox, for that matter, too. Like, I have found that it's really been useful for me to do emails and messages on Facebook really only in the first part of my day, like when we're in those, you know, the first part of our day is later than a lot of people's, but you know, cause we work till late in the night.
So we have an offset schedule.
Yeah. So like, if you're getting emails from me at like between like noon and 2, that's kind of like
those are my emails.
Time to shine. But I've found that once I've dealt with email and messages in that part of the day, it feels really good to me to not be on my computer.
Yeah.
So I'll get on my phone to do Facebook a couple other times throughout the day, but even that I found that it feels really good to keep hedges around that time, you know, and just like, okay, I'm gonna dip in here for like a few minutes, respond to some things, and then dip back out, you know, and really keeping some boundaries around that feels good to me in this.
Yeah, and you know, I wax and wane with that. Like, I'm definitely in one of those phases too right now where I've just not been super online the past, like, probably 3 days, 4 days maybe. But, you know, I also understand that there's going to be a time when our people are just going to have a certain pent-up amount of freaked outness when it will be really helpful for me to really just jump in and be there and, like, send, you know, 180 people, like, more than just clicking on the heart, but actually, like, engaging and validating how they feel and, like, reflecting their experience back to them and, like, all those things that we can do.
Yeah, one of the things that I feel like the particular skills that I've had to develop being an artist is that, like, one of the things that we do is we ask a lot of questions and we pay attention to things in a different way than a lot of folks I think are... encouraged to do in their everyday lives, yeah. you know? So I found that one of the things that has felt like a way to be of service to people is to ask those kinds of questions that allow them to pay attention to small shifts or small details about their experience in this time. Like, yeah. what ways in which are you giving yourself grace today? What are the names of the feelings you're having today? Mm-hmm. Rather than just being like, blah, I feel terrible. Yeah. But like, okay, let's like name them. You
let's
know,
use really, some basic CODA tools.
It's helpful. So I've been trying to, you know, come up with these questions for people. I've been astounded at how many people have been responding to these questions. I mean, like, there are some questions I posted last week that people are still giving responses to.
Yeah.
Same
with me.
Clearly, people have a need to share what's going on. Like, there's a lot of people experiencing life in a very, very different way than we ever have as a human race before now, yeah. you know, or anybody alive right now anyway, you know. And so that's been really interesting to me to see. I just see some commonalities, you know, like, you know, in terms of shared experience. You know, a lot of people are telling me that they're sleeping a lot more than usual.
Yeah.
A lot of people are talking about how they've gotten out for purposeful walks around the neighborhood more than they ever have before, getting even sometimes more exercise, you know, in their bodies right now because of this time. Lots of more people, talking about cooking at home, baking. Some of you are baking. Everybody's baking,
yeah.
which is great. You should bake. That's wonderful. But I've also noticed that there are a lot of people whose experience, like the experience for people is different from household to household also, you know, like there definitely are this set of people who are home and they're like, okay, what do I watch next on Netflix? Or, you know, looking for stuff to do kind of set
feel,
of people.
Feel envious. You know, you and I took a day off yesterday and we just watched a couple of things. We watched movies. We watched about 4 hours of movies.
It was great.
One was 2.5, one was 1.5 hours.
It was lovely.
And it was lovely. It was great. And at the end of it, I was like, I could really see doing this for another day. Of course, we can't because we have to record our podcast, we have to work, and like you and I never get 2 days in a row off. And this idea that there are people who are just like I've run out of things to watch.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Hey, you know what though?
Envious. Genuinely envious.
You can be envious, but also I think that for people who are used to being on a faster paced schedule and are staring into the maw of not anything to do, it's its own challenge.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's not like those folks have it rosy. It is still a challenge. And a lot of people who are single people who don't have a partner they live with are facing this time by themselves. It's a huge challenge.
Yes, it is.
For a lot of people. So, but there's that set who suddenly have nothing on their calendars, you know, to do because they're, you know, maybe not working right now or whatever. There's this other set of people who are working still their full-time jobs from home, but also their kids are there and they're expected to keep up with their kids' schooling.
I can't even imagine.
And suddenly have like 6 times more things to do in their day than they normally would. Like just the experience of people is very, very different. And I think it's a constant reminder to me that my experience in this time is not the experience of this time. That there are...
You and I can reliably figure that you can't generalize from us for pretty much anything.
Well, that's true. But that's true for everybody. Yeah. Like, we're all having different experiences. And at the same time, there is a thread of commonality.
Yeah.
Right? For all of us, in one way or another, whether you know, we are people who are still showing up on site to our jobs because it's essential work, or we're sitting at home trying to figure out how to pass the hours, or we're trying to juggle at-home work and at-home school and all the things, you know. For all of us, it's been a major disruption of what's been quote unquote normal. And there's been major shifts and lots of reason to give ourselves and each other a whole lot of room to screw it up and to get used to this and to, you know, just, man, it's important to acknowledge that we're not, none of us is feeling moored right now. We're all feeling at sea.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know? I don't really have anything else to say about that except for just it is.
Yeah.
And what a strange time. Like, I feel like we're living in a freaking movie plot except for it doesn't end in an hour and a half. It goes on. And
in the midst of all of this, like, spring is still happening. Our little cherry tree, even though, like, the slower cherry tree is blossoming. Mm-hmm. We planted a couple of flowers today that we found. We found a couple of ranunculus, which you love.
Ranunculus is my favorite flower.
Yeah, ranunculus. Yeah. I don't even know the name properly. Yeah. Anyway, we got two of them. They're beautiful. They were $4 each. We put them in the ground. It was something.
Yeah.
You know? Like, all these regular life markers are still happening, which just makes it all seem more surreal, you know?
Mm-hmm. People are having birthdays. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody yesterday posting something. Our friend Tammy from San Diego.
Yeah.
Her niece got married this weekend. Their wedding was scheduled for the weekend, and they decided to go through with it anyway. Mm. So they had the photos. It was so cute. They stood in front of one of their grandmother's houses. Huh. And like 6 feet away is whomever was officiating.
Aww.
And everybody else who quote unquote attended the wedding pulled up in their cars and rolled down the windows.
That's adorable.
From the sidewalk.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah. Like just.
They like got a drive-in wedding.
They looked super happy. The couple that got married. Like,
aww.
You know, life goes on. Babies are being born. We have our friend Sarah, who's working in Seattle as a nurse right now.
Yep.
She's working in labor and delivery, mm-hmm. bringing new life into the world in the midst of all of this.
Yeah. Just wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
There's no bow.
No. There's nothing to tie this up with.
That's just the end of the conversation.
End of story.
Yeah.
Goodness. I would love to hear how everyone who's listening to this is doing. If you are a supporting member already of the podcast, that means that you have access to the private Misfit Stars Facebook group. Please share your experience in there. We've been prompting in there, and you know people are already doing this. But please, if you're listening to this and you haven't shared your experience, we would love to hear from you and just like hear a check-in and know how you're doing. If you are not yet a supporting member of this podcast, this is an urgent time for us. You know, Shannon and I, because we had a decent tour last summer, we have enough money in the bank to get us through July. And that's the long and short of it. You know, so we're not panicking now because it's not that time yet. But in order for us not to be panicking when June and July come around, we need to dramatically build up our sort of monthly residual income from this Misfit Stars community, right? And all that it means, really simply put, is that we're asking as many people as possible to make a recurring monthly donation, A, and B, if you already are making monthly recurring donation but have room to increase it without it being a negative effect on you, right? Like if you have a stable job and you're in at 10 because you just sort of were, but you could go to 20 or 30, please do that. The more people that do that, the more chance Shannon and I will have at being able to continue to, you know, pay our living expenses come August.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the goal. Like we intend to keep living indoors and doing what we can to serve our community. Mm-hmm. But being indoors is a key part of it. It's where all of our music making gear is.
It's true.
MisfitStars.com/join if you are not yet a supporting member. MisfitStars.com/level up. If you are a supporting member and have room to increase your monthly contribution there. Either way, thank you to the people this last week who A, increased your contributions, there were a number of you, and B, became new supporting members. We need to have some robust activity in that regard every single week from now until the end of July if we're gonna make this work.
Yeah.
So thank you. If you appreciate what we're doing, even honestly if you don't, but you just want me to stop talking about it, first of all, I won't, but I appreciate that so much. Put that energy online at misfitstars.com/join.
Thank you so much,
everybody.
And for those of you who just listened all the way to the end of this podcast, thank you. We really hope that you take the time to take care of yourself this week. And
to like identify what that is, which can be hard.
It can be, but you can do it. We can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We got this. We'll be back again next week. So see you then.
Can't wait. Love you guys.
Bye.
See ya.